You are listening to a True Gospel Perspective from our Macedonia Baptist Church ministerial staff. We pray that this message will be a true blessing to you.
I greet you in the precious name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And I'd like to welcome all friends and guests that may have come out this morning. And to the entire church family, God bless you. Amen. I want to take the moment to thank the church family and all the ministries. I was recently ill, sick, and I received much love of cards and phone calls. And I wanted to thank you so very much for caring and loving me. Amen. It really blessed my heart, and it does really, really makes a difference. I am encouraged each time that I got a card and opened it up. My heart just overwhelmed with joy. And I just want to say, you know, it does make a difference to those who are sick and shut in or ill at home. Send a card. It really helped me a whole bunch, and I really, really appreciate it. I also like to take the moment to acknowledge our wonderful reverends that share this pulpit with me weekly. Reverend Dwayne Minor, God bless you, and enjoyed you yesterday so very much. And you did a magnificent job yesterday, and I really appreciate you so very much. And the reverends that share this pulpit with me, God bless you guys. I also like to thank our pastor, Pastor Twyman. He's not here today. But I'm grateful and thankful that he asked me to come today and bring forth a message. And I really appreciate him being my pastor. Amen. He always blesses. And his wonderful, wonderful wife, God bless you. I love you very much. Amen. It's always good to see you. Amen. God bless you. Let's have a word of prayer, and then we'll get right into the word, if you would. Heavenly Father, I just come to you now, Father God, in the name of Jesus Christ. Thank you so very much for this preaching opportunity. Thank you so very much for your kindness and goodness. Today, I ask you in the name of Jesus Christ, bless your people. Through your word, Lord God, thank you for allowing this servant to bring forth the word. Thank you, Lord God, for holding me up. May you, Lord God, may not a person that's here today leave the way they came. May they leave more encouraged. May leave with more wisdom, more knowledge, more understanding. May they leave, Lord God, with a blessing in their hearts from the word of God. Thank you so much for what you have done, are doing, and will do, Father God. Now touch your servant in the name of Jesus Christ, Father. Bless me to be able to speak with plainness of speech and clearness of mind. Use me for your glory and for your praise. I thank you now and forever, Father. Thank you so much. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. If you have your Bibles, I would like for you to turn to the book of the Gospel of St. Luke. It's in the New Testament, and Matthew, Mark, and then you find Luke chapter 6. Chapter 6 of Luke, chapter 6. We'll be reading about 9 verses. Verses 27 through 35, I'll be reading in your hearing. I'll be reading from the New Living Translation. You may have a different type of Bible, and that's fine, but I'll be reading from the New Living Translation. Starting from verse 27 through 35, Jesus is speaking, and Jesus says, "But to you who are willing to listen, I say, love your enemies. Do good to those who hate you. Bless those who curse you. Pray for those who hurt you. And if anyone slap you on one cheek, offer the other also. If someone demands your coat, offer your shirt also. Give to anyone who asks, and when things are taken away from you, Don't try to get them back. Do to others as you would like them to do to you. If you love only those who love you, why should you get any credit? Even sinners love those who love them. If you do good only to those who do good to you, why should you get credit? Even sinners do that much. And if you lend money only to those who can repay you, why should you get credit? Even sinners lend to sinners for full return. Love your enemies. Do good to them. Lend to them without expecting to be repaid. Then your reward from heaven will be very great, and you will be truly be acting as your father, your children, from your Father from the Most High. For he is kind to those who are thankful and wicked. Amen. God add a blessing to the reading of his wonderful word. We're speaking on the thought today, on the message today, straight from scripture. Love your enemies. Love your enemies. Amen. Jesus went up to the mountain to pray. He prayed to God all night. At daybreak, he called together all of his disciples and chose 12 apostles. When they came down from the mountain, the disciples stood with Jesus as the crowds surrounded him. There were people from all over, from Judea to Jerusalem and from the far north. They had come to hear him and to be healed of their diseases. And also those troubled by evil spirits were healed. Healing power went out from him, and he healed everyone. Then he turned to his disciples, his followers, and said to them, "What blessings await you when people hate you and exclude you and mock you and curse you?" Jesus said, when that happens, not if, but when that happens, be happy. Yes, leap for joy, as a great reward awaits you in heaven. Then Jesus goes on to say, but to you who are willing to listen, I say, love your enemies and do good to those who hate you. And so that they didn't miss the point, he said it again in verse 35, a second time, love your enemies. But he didn't stop there. He said, and do good. When Jesus said, love your enemies, that wasn't a suggestion. No, it wasn't an option. It was a command. But sometimes that command is easy to say, but hard to do. This may be one of the toughest commands Jesus gave. You know, because if you have enemies, it'll kind of make you, scratch your head a little. Some find it difficult to believe that Jesus really meant what he said when he said, love your enemies. But he meant it. I mean, if you think about it, if you got a really, 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 really good, honest to goodness enemy or enemies, if you got someone who doesn't like you but despise you, if you have so-called friends who constantly stab you in the back, they call them backbiters. Stab you in the back and say bad things about you behind your back. If you know people who have hurt you or your loved ones, I understand. Then loving your enemies may not be at the top of your list. Because there are other things that you know, we like to do to our enemies. you know, I'm just saying. You know, like getting even with them and making them suffer like you suffered. You know, I'm just saying, you know. To be honest, it's even harder when your enemies have attacked your children, your grandchildren, your spouse, or even you. Which leads to a very practical question: who are my enemies? Well, in the broadest sense, an enemy can be a stranger who just turns against you for no reason. Or it can be a person closer to you than you can imagine. Jesus said in the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 10, verse 36, Jesus said, your enemies will be right in your own household. You don't have to go far or be on the other side of the world to have or find enemies. They can be people we go home to every day. Or they can be people we interact with on a regular basis. They can be people we work with or go to school with or be around all the time. They can be people you don't even know. They people you don't know, but they just don't like you for no reason. And not this church. This church here is full of love, but you may go to some church and find some people that you'd rather not see. If you're gonna love your enemies, it should start first in the relationships closest to you. I've learned if you're gonna learn to deal with people closest to you before you can impact the world around you, that's what I've learned. Most of us have encountered some enemies along the way. And I find that friends, should say, come and go. But enemies seem to accumulate. Nothing seemed more natural than to dislike or even hate those who have hurt you deeply. Nothing seemed more natural. Yet Jesus says, love your enemies. Then he say, pray for those who hurt you. For he gives his sunlight to both the evil and the good, and he sends his rain on the just and unjust alike. If you love, he says, if you love only those who love you, why should you get any credit for that? If you do good unto those who do good to you, why should you get any credit? As I was doing some research and going through the Bible, I came across a story in the Bible. It's in the book of Daniel. When you have time in your private time, read it. I think it'd be a blessing to you. It's in the book of Daniel. It was 597 BC. King Nebuchadnezzar of Babylon and his mighty army had come once again to the gates of Jerusalem. They had come once before in 605 BC. That's when they took Daniel and his friends into exile in Babylon. Now 8 years later, they come to Jerusalem to take another group of Jews into exile. It was a humiliating experience for the people of God. It was also a punishment from the Lord because of their rebellion. Now, in a real true sense, they got what was coming to them. But they would spend 70 years in captivity in a foreign land, ruled by pagans that did not worship God. Not all the Jews were taken to Babylon. Jeremiah was one of those that was left behind. He recorded a letter he sent from Jerusalem to encourage them. But this message that he sent was quite unexpected. It says, "This is what the Lord of the heaven's army, the God of Israel, says to all the captives who have exiled to Babylon from Jerusalem. Work for the peace and prosperity of the city where I sent you into exile. Pray to the Lord for it. Its welfare will determine your welfare." Another way of saying it is, if it prospers, too will prosper. This is what the Lord says. You will be in Babylon in captivity for 70 years. But then I will come and do for you all the good things I had promised. In those days, when you pray, I will listen. If you look for me wholeheartedly, you will find me. I will be found by you, said the Lord. And I will end your captivity and restore your fortunes. To make it plain, God is saying, I put you in Babylon for a purpose. Now, although I know you are humiliated, discouraged, and angry, don't despair. Pray for the prosperity of Babylon. Work for the peace and the prosperity of the city where I sent you into exile. Pray to the Lord for it, for its welfare will determine your welfare. Now, here is a message from God's word that can help all of us. Many today may be here or may read this message and find themselves caught in a bad situation, whether at home or at work or at school or somewhere. Someone has hurt you deeply, and you're doing all you can not to strike back. With all your energy, you're barely holding back the bitterness that you'd like to display. And you have made up in your mind, I wouldn't pray for my enemy if my life depended on it. But God said, pray anyway. That's the whole point in chapter 6 of Matthew and Luke. I'm sorry, in Luke chapter 6, when Jesus said, love your enemies. The Hebrew word for peace is shalom. Besides shalom, it means blessing and wholeness, and for shalom is peace. It means completeness and wholeness and absence of conflict, prosperity. You see, it was shocking to the Jews that God would tie their blessings to the blessings of the Babylonians. Since the exile was God's people and the Babylonians was pagans, they had problems with that. You can only imagine their objections. I'm sure they were saying, you know, Lord, not these people. Ever been there before? Well, you got somebody who said, not this joker right here. Not this fella, not this female, not her, anybody, but not them. That's what their thought was. Not these people, Lord. They had invaded our land. They destroyed our city. They burnt down our temple where we even worship you. They're vile people. They're killers, Lord. They're rapists. Why should we want to pray for these people? They don't deserve it. And it was all true. The Babylonians were not nice people. You really can't be a nice barbaric killer. To spread their kingdom. The Babylonians, they acted ruthlessly against anyone who dared to oppose them. I mean, to the Babylonians, life was cheap and death was easy. It was a means of, and torture was a means of sending a message to future foes. God says to his discouraged people, I know you don't like it in Babylon, but that doesn't matter. You're going to be there for a while, so settle down and make the best of it. This is what I want you to do, my people. Don't treat the Babylonians as they treated you. Seek to bless and be a blessing. Pray for the Babylonians. They certainly need your prayers. And you, my people, need to pray. And as you pray, I will bless them. And in blessing them, you too will be blessed. Now, nothing seemed more natural than to hate those who have mistreated us. But it is here in Scripture that God teaches us a better way. You see, the world says, get even. But God says, seek the good of those who have harmed you. The world says, get angry. But God says, pray for them. The world says, don't waste time loving bad people. But God says, love them anyway. We need to pray for our enemies. And they need our prayers. Every time we are faced with people who mistreat us, we have options. The first thing we can do, we can hate them back as much as they hated us, but that accomplishes nothing. We can struggle to hold back our anger, but that's exhausting. Or we can pray for God to bless them. You see, if you pray for God to bless them, that opens the door for God to bless you as well. Love your enemies. Easy to say, sometimes hard to do. What does it mean to love the people who have ruined everything you hold so dear? How do you pray for people you despise? How do you seek the good of people who wish you were dead? Why would you seek the prosperity after what they did to you? Well, here's a few things that can help us move us in the right direction. The first thing you can do is greet them. That's right. Greet them. Well, you say, well, that's simple. Well, yes, it is simple, but we often overlook this simple step. One part of loving your enemies is greeting them graciously when we see them. Sometimes instead of turning the other cheek, like Jesus said, we turn totally away. So we won't have to say hello to someone who have hurt us. There's a many people who have become very good, you know, at looking the other way when the enemy is coming. Or ducking to a room or crossing the street. To keep from greeting people that they do not like. But Jesus said, if you only greet those who are your friends, what benefit is that? Do not even sinners do that? You see, one part of loving your enemies is greeting them instead of avoiding them. Smile. Shake hands. Say hello to your enemies. Really, I'm telling you, I have tried it myself. It's really a good first step. The second thing you can do is disarm them. Disarm them. That's what you do when you turn the other cheek or go the second mile. You disarm them by doing the very thing they least expect. Like speaking well of them when no one else expects it. For example, there was one fella at where I used to work at, and this fella, big fella, he had muscles everywhere. He had muscles in his head. He had muscles everywhere. I tell you, big, strong guy, but he came up to me. He said, "I know you're a preacher." I said, "Yes, sir." He said, "I don't like Christians and I don't like preachers. Stay out my way." And I went, I said, "What you say?" I said, "Yes, sir." I said, "Lord, thank you." I said, "Lord, you gave me an opportunity to exercise love. Thank you, Lord." Well, you know, he would do bad things when I would carry something, he'd knock it out of my hands, and I'm going down the hall, he'd bump into me and push me and do, you know, stuff like that. And you know, me being an ex-professional boxer, I could have took this guy out. One punch. I said, "Lord, all I need is one shot. Just one shot. One shot, and that's all I need." And like, no, not love him. I said, I said, "Okay, I'll go ahead and love him." All right. He was always trying to be tough, and people all, and everyone knew that he was being rough with me. Everybody knew that he was being tough, and they a group of them came to me, and they said, you know, they asked me, "What are your thoughts towards him? What's your thoughts? We see what he's doing to you, but what's your thoughts towards him?" I said, "He's a good man, and somewhere deep inside of him is a good heart." They all looked perplexed, and they said, "Ernie, I guess you don't know what he's been saying or doing to you." I said, yes, I know. I know he's been saying. But you didn't ask me his opinion of me. You asked me my opinion of him. Speak well of those that are your enemies. Another thing you can do is do good to them. It's fascinating in the Gospel of Luke chapter 6 in verse 27 and verse 35 when Jesus said, "Love your enemies." Both times he immediately added, "Do good to them." So we wouldn't miss the point. Doing good to your enemy means seeing them as in the image of God, as that God made them. Doing good means promoting their healing in spite of what they've done to you. You make the first move. You bridge that gap. You pick up the phone and say hello. But what if they don't respond right? What if they don't cooperate? Well, that doesn't matter. You're not in charge of how people respond to you. It's what you do to your enemy that God sees. Make the first move. Let the Lord take care of the rest, is what I'm trying to say. Another thing you can do is refuse to speak evil of them. Refuse it. Because your flesh is going to tell you something else. It's going to rub you the wrong way. It's tell you to do something totally different. But speak well to them. Don't speak evil about them. No matter what happens. That's what Jesus meant when he said, bless those who curse you. It means to choose to not think evil or evil thoughts or refuse to speak evil words towards those who are your enemies. Proverbs 18:21 has a great deal to say about the power of words. It says, the tongue has the power of life and death, and those who love it will eat its fruit. What kind of fruit are you eating? What kind of fruit do you have? I hope you have good, fresh, wonderful fruit. Every time we open our mouth, death, life, and death comes out. You can do one or two things when it comes to your enemies. You can criticize them like the Jewish people did to the Babylonians, or you can pray for them. But let me tell you, you can't do both. I believe God places in your life every person you need for your spiritual growth. Yes, sir. He'll send to you a Saul, a David, an Esau. He'll send to you a Daniel, an Absalom. He'll send to you an Esther. He'll even send you a Judas. God will use each one to teach you something and to make you more like Jesus. And God, you know, would not permit it if he didn't intend to bring something good from it. And lastly, ask God to bless them. A simple way to do that is what's faced when someone that mistreats you is ask God to do for them what you would have him do for you. You know, the world says do to others what they've done to you, but that's not what Jesus says. Love them anyway. Ask God to bless them. I'm closing and I'm going to take my seat. Our enemies humble us. They keep us on our knees. They reveal our weakness. They expose our desperate need for God. Therefore, we thank God who knows best. So, yes, you can. You can love your enemies. If we didn't need them, God wouldn't allow them to come our way. And let me say that Jesus had enemies, but they killed him. But he loved them anyway. How do you know that? Because he stood up and stepped down from his throne and came down through 42 generations. You see, I was one of those enemies at one time. He came down through 42 generations. He was a virgin born in a manger. He walked this earth and did miracles untold. Yes, he healed the sick. He raised the dead. He fed the thousands to prove that he was the Son of God. But he didn't stop there. He went to the cross to die for your sins and mine. Yes, he did. They hung him high and stretched him wide. There he suffered and died. But with his last words, he said, "It is finished." Oh, they took him down from the cross. They buried him in a borrowed tomb. He laid in the grave 3 days. But early Sunday morning, he got up from the grave with all power over sin, death, and the grave, just like he said he would. You say, but, that's simple, but why would God do that for me? That you may have eternal life with him in heaven. Today is your day. You haven't gave your life to Christ. If you need to recommit yourself, do that God can bless you. Because you can love your enemy. God bless you.
We hope you enjoyed this message today, and we pray that it was a true blessing to you. If you are interested in learning more about Pastor Charles D. Twyman and the Macedonia Baptist Church family, you can reach out to us at www.mbcdet.com. Thank you, and God bless you.